today is looking deeper at our ESG plans, then putting out a supply chain fire, then getting a last-minute briefing on cybersecurity. My priorities don't just shift, they shift by the hour. That's where I need Aon. Their combination of advanced analytics and expert insight keeps me up to speed and ready for my next move. Better decisions. Aon.
But like, he's the one, he's always the one who's like talking like this and getting these little laughs and stuff like that.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
Today, we're going to be doing a mini pod on...
Lovey pod, birdie pod, I don't know.
I don't know what to call this either. It's either one of those works, probably. Of the Lovebirds, a movie that was slated to come out in, I believe, April... in theaters and
Whatever that first weekend of April was, like April 3rd or something. Yep.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out then, and then something happened. Maybe you guys can tell me what happened. it looked for distribution, and I guess Netflix snapped it up, and it's on Netflix. And immediate thing that I thought of when I saw the trailers for this was that this is basically Date Night again.
And it really is.
It very much is.
Which is interesting because we did the Date Night CinemaSins video, right? Like, I think that was supposed to kind of tentpole this, not really knowing that how much of a Date Night movie this was going to be.
The Date Night came out in late, the video for that came out in late March. So we were setting that up for that. We had we set up our schedule and just didn't deviate from it once everything changed. So, a lot of people probably were like, why Date Night? Because the Lovebirds was supposed to come out.
Yeah, it weirdly kind of worked out. It was the 10-year anniversary of Date Night, though, right around that time. So we'll just go with that. It was 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, 10-year anniversary. That works, too. I guess the only real difference here is that they're not married in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Although they're in a relationship that's been that's lasted long enough that they are almost that way anyway. So,
And it still follows the, it's kind of a mistaken identity in the sense that, they think that they're going to be accused of murder and all that stuff, although that's not Date Night's not murder, but it's a crime. They get involved in a crime when they're in a weird state in their relationship, and they're on the run trying to figure out what's going on. I mean, and there's other movies like this. Like, you think of something like Bird on a Wire, or I don't know. I mean, there's even something like Game Night, or there's a lot of this is a pretty common trope, and this movie really, really leans into those tropes.
It does. I'm trying to think of, first off, I think there are funny moments in this movie. I just don't know how well it all pulls together. I watched this movie twice. I just happened to have the time to like fit a second viewing in and everything. And I'm not sure there's anything in this movie that makes me go, oh, it's this scene. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's this one. Where I know I'm gonna see or hear something really funny.
It's a nice runtime, though. Talk about watching it twice. It's
for sure
87 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah, it runs by really quick. That is a big plus. I think I love Kumail Nanjiani and I love Issa Rae, and I want them to have huge careers, and they're great in this and everything. And I'm glad that they're getting a big movie. But there's other people in here that I wish they would use more. Like Anna Camp, who is just...
Oh, yeah. Who's very disappointing.
Is just the... Who's just like the best. Just absolutely the best. And just give her something more than this. I mean, even in the Pitch Perfect movies, they sort of reduced her to a cameo character in that. And I'm wondering what's going on with that.
Yeah.
She's great.
If you go back and watch the first Pitch Perfect, I mean, obviously Anna Kendrick is the star, is the headliner there. Mm-hmm. And then I guess Rebel Wilson obviously has some still scening moments, but I think she stands out definitely after that. And then, yeah, like you said, in the sequels, they didn't really use her. They did the same thing in True Blood. She was a really interesting character in True Blood, and then mm-hmm. they brought her back and she wasn't.
Yeah.
People don't really seem to know how to do what to do with her. And it's unfortunate because she's got chops for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And even her, the husband, the guy who plays her husband in this is,
Kyle Bornheimer.
Yeah. And he's another one of those. Nobody knows how to use him. He's been in
a million sitcoms. The first time I saw him, he was in some commercial. There was a series of commercials he was in that I can't remember what they were, but I remember him being really funny in them. And then suddenly he was in sitcoms and stuff. I was like, oh, that dude from that commercial. I wish I could remember what that commercial was now. But yeah, he's been in 1,000 sitcoms that
last like a season.
Yeah. And he's a guy they show briefly in this. It's like, there's another guy that could definitely use some more screen time. What is his name? Paul Sparks is great. If you've ever watched Boardwalk Empire or House of Cards, mm-hmm. He's also on what's that horror series that what is it? You know it because you've seen it.
I'm sure I have. Hold on one second.
Castle Rock. He's on Castle Rock
well. Oh yeah. He's Ace Merrill. Yep.
Yeah. So that guy is really good too. But anyway, I know in a movie like this, you've got two leads and you're going to let the leads, take up everything. I just wish there was more use of the other characters.
And I agree. And I think, if you look at something like Date Night, which Date Night was by no means, breaking the bar or anything. I mean, it was given a very standard plot line just to get, Steve Carell and Tina Fey into hijinks. And they're great together as well. Mm-hmm. But there are some fun supporting characters in that movie, mm-hmm. And some interesting stuff going on in the background. I don't think you have that as much here. I will say I was fine with this movie up until about the, I think when they go to the apartment where you see in the trailer that they hit this guy on a bicycle. Then the Sparks guy, he shows up, his character, and says he's a cop and
mm-hmm.
he needs to take over the vehicle. And then they end up running. Then he ends up running over the guy and killing him. And then mm-hmm. so they think they're going to be accused of murdering this guy. And so they're on the run and they go to this guy's apartment. They think they'll find something there. And that scene was where I started losing interest. I don't know. Up to that point, I felt like Ninjani and Ray were everything was kind of a natural progression the way it was moving forward, and they were so good together. But then it started getting a little more contrived as it went on, and then they go to the dinner party, and mm-hmm. that was even less funny.
Yeah,
and then it gets down to that whole that big set piece, which ends up not being I guess we'll get into that more in spoilers, but you see mm-hmm. some of it in the trailer, the Eyes Wide Shut set piece.
Yeah,
that's not funny, really. No. It's a which is kind of weird. I don't know how they didn't nail that, but they don't.
I'll tell you why I think they don't nail that in the spoilers.
But I will say there, when we get into spoilers, though, there is one interesting thing about the resolution that I actually quite liked, although they ruin it just as quickly as they make it interesting. But this is just, I mean, this is very run of the mill. You're not going to see anything new, but I do think that Ninjani and Ray are, it is Ninjani, right? I'm saying that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Najani and Rey are so good here. And I had never seen Issa Rae.
I heard
about Little. I heard Little wasn't a good movie, but she was amazing in it. I never saw it. And I think, is she like on a Showtime show or something?
On HBO. It's a show called Insecure, and it's really good.
I'm going to check that out now for sure.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of the new season, but I saw the last couple, and she's great. She started off on YouTube. The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl is the thing
that was
on YouTube, I believe. But that's what sort of got her start, and then she went on to Insecure, which is, yeah, like I said, Insecure is really fun. If you want to see she's just a dynamo, the way she reacts, and her facial expressions are just priceless. So it's no surprise that people want to use her in a lot of movies lately and everything. So what are we going to grade this? It's tough because I do think there's just some, I think there's just enough enjoyable in here to make this a C+, I would say.
I'm dead on with you. I'm doing C+. I think I was probably like B- for about the first half, and then like I said, that second half just went downhill for me.
I was the same way. Like, the movie demands that they be on the run the whole time so that they can quote unquote clear their names, but like the reasoning behind it just seems, I don't know, it just seems faulty to me. Like, I feel like, I don't know. I understand why they do what they do. It's just that it leads to some situations that I'm like, there's no way you guys would act this way.
But they're great. I mean, they're, like we've said over and over, I mean, they're the only reason to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Even though there are some good actors that aren't them, but they're just not used well. And other than maybe Parks, and which I think his interesting thing is that he's mostly dramatic crime type stuff. He usually doesn't do comedy, I guess.
Well, in Boardwalk Empire, he's pretty close to comedy because he does. I mean, it's still drama, but like, he's the one gangster in that I'm sure he's based on somebody real. I just don't know who it is. He's the one gangster on that has like an almost just non-serious. I don't know. There's probably there's some menace underneath it, but he's the one. He's always the one who's like talking like this, and he gives these little laughs and stuff like that. If for the most part, that guy's a pretty serious dramatic actor that I've seen.
But he's good. He's just not, I just don't know how well he's used, but he's definitely good. But Najani and Rey is why you would watch this. Honestly, by the end, it's mostly Rey.
If you watch this, you probably won't be disappointed in just them. They're great. They do their thing and do it well. But
yeah, they have great chemistry. If we could watch 10 more movies with them, I'd be all right.
Let's move on to spoilers.
Yep. No
spoilers. Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's what? Father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
They just No. I'm reading the books.
So yeah, I guess one thing about this, you brought up the Eyes Wide Shut thing.
Yeah,
I don't know if the movie was trying to get us in this. They were trying to whip up this potential that they would get called down to the orgy that happens afterwards.
Yeah,
I don't know if they were just doing that to pull the rug out. I don't think they were. I think that they wanted them to riff on this whole thing while it was going on, and it felt like they barely got enough stuff that they wanted to use in that. It felt like the whole thing was for them to riff on it, and they didn't really get to riff on it. They had like a couple of moments in there. Like I just know that there's no way that a lot of that stuff was written. And they just were just going, they were just trying some things. And then by the end of the cut, there's like four or five things they put in this thing before the cops show up. But
well, and you have a random comment made early in the movie about orgies that was kind of weird, and you're just like, well, that was like, why are they talking about orgies right now? And then it ends up being kind of funny because he's like, well, you're describing a gangbang, and I'm describing an orgy. But then clearly that was foreshadowing for.
But for this scene. One of them should have been called. One of them should have been called to go into the orgy. That should have been. I mean, and they didn't even have to. You know, there didn't need to be nudity or anything. It could have just been.
Yeah.
You know, one of them gets called up there, and then it starts getting crazy, and they're broken up. So it could easily just have gone a number of directions. I sit there and I think about, like, you know, in Zoolander, where they're making fun of Christine Taylor for not having sex for a really long time. And, and then it turns into that threesome, and it is the most bonkers threesome that you could come up with. And even some like Tibetan monk shows up in it at some point.
Yeah, this was kind of funny at first when they started showing, when they got down, because they clearly couldn't show, they weren't going to show nudity or anything, but it was kind of funnier the way it was. It was like all from the top and everybody's just touching each other and shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, then it just ends. And there's really nothing. And I will say they left out the dialogue from the trailer that I hated. I think I mentioned this when I did a Sincast with you guys about where she called it
Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale. They left that out, I believe. I didn't remember hearing that.
She said it's Illuminati, and that just goes to further to my point after that was they went through a whole bunch of different takes on that line. And they may have even said Eyes Wide Shut, but they may have not wanted to say Eyes Wide Shut because of getting sued for some reason. And so I think they went through a whole bunch of stuff, and one was Handmaid's Tale, which is weird. It was weird they just threw that in the trailer. They might as well have just used the Illuminati one. That scene could have been so absurd and funny, and instead they just decided to leave their two characters up observing it instead of, and then it ends because suddenly they figure out that the barcode that was used was from a person who gave their number to somebody else, and it's a horrible crime for them to do that, and then the cops show up. I didn't like any part of that scene. And something that had such comic potential, just dropped it like an anvil.
Yeah, for sure.
So what else do we want to get into on this?
Well, and also even going off that scene though, which I'll go into the part I like toward the end, but going off that scene, I don't even really know what those people were doing. And when they end up at the police station later, that woman says, oh yeah, we've been tailing them for a long time and investigate. But like, I don't even think they're committing a crime. It's kind of like the Scooby-Doo thing. Like, are they really doing anything?
Yeah.
They're getting blackmailed, you know, which ends up being the whole plot. But the one thing I liked about, so we talked about earlier where they hit a guy, and then the Parks character shows up and he's like, you know, I'm a cop, I need to take your vehicle. He ends up killing the guy and then runs away. So they're like, oh, he's probably not a cop. Of course, you know, right then he's a fucking cop.
Mm-hmm.
Him being a dirty cop is like not a surprise at all, but they're, while they're on the run, they keep getting called by the cops and they're ignoring the phone call. And then when they get to the police station, they're like, they've got their stories ready and all that kind of stuff. And I just assumed this was going to be one of those dumb things where they're, you know, overacting and, you know, blaming, like taking the blame for themselves and all that kind of bullshit. But it ends up being the cops were just trying to get them to come in so they could protect them, so they could use them as witnesses, because she's like, no, there was like a ton of street camera, like traffic cams. Like, we know you didn't do it. And I've never seen that before. Like, I couldn't think of a time I had seen that before. Maybe there is a movie that does that.
Yeah.
But I just remember thinking like, oh, well, that's interesting. Then they immediately ruin it pretty much.
Yeah. Well, the thing about that reveal is that the reason why other movies don't do that is because I think that screenwriters are sort of taught to keep putting the character up into a tree, and, you know, that whole metaphor about making the situation worse for them over and over. And that's what happens most of the time, is that the fact that they ran and the fact that they, that somebody called it in, yep, and used their names, that would have been enough for some cops to be like, oh yeah, they're the ones who did it. But in this one, they didn't do that. But you're right. Immediately, they ruin that whole thing.
Yeah, because, well, first off, they start going on this unfunny riff where they're confessing to other crimes, like selling edibles and shit like that, which was dumb. And
yeah,
then,
that was not good.
And then they end up in the cops driving them home. And then I don't know how they wouldn't have seen the cop that got in the car with them in the first place, by the way.
Yeah,
that super confused me, but it ends up being Paul Sparks.
Right. And they managed to get through a whole, but they've driven pretty far, and then they get into that whole conversation just so that when Issa Rae says, I wonder who called the cops.
Yeah.
And he can turn around and say, ta-da, it was me the whole time. Even though he could have easily just gone ahead and done that a long time ago.
Although it was kind of funny when Kamel Nanjiani's like, or maybe it was Issa Rae, was like, but they said they got camera footage. He's like, oh no. He's like, that shit, you can't tell who that is.
Yeah, it's grainy. Yeah. I can't remember. He said it was as grainy as, what did he say? But yeah, he says it's grainy, they can't see it, whatever. The biggest thing for me towards the end, I generally hated the entire ending.
Yeah.
He uses these wire ties to tie them up while they're in the car so that he can go and look for a boat, I guess, leaves them there. And then Issa Rae is able to get one of those cigarette lighter things in the car to depress, and then they get the cigarette lighter thing, and they're somehow able to burn the wire ties off. I didn't get that. I felt like,
and then,
no
and
way
then
that would have happened.
Like they put them back on.
Yeah. And then there's a whole thing too where they turn the tables, and they end up shooting. They call him Mustache all the way through this. They don't know his name. They shoot Mustache, and he falls over the side of the boat and into the water. Of course, he has one more, like, you know, villain jump scare type of thing where he comes back out. And then they hit him and he goes down in the water again. Cut to, they've got the suspect in custody. He's not dead. Like, did they drag him out of the water? He was in the water.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
They were just lying down on the boat and talking about their relationship while dude was in the water.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That ending's not good. Like I said, that one little part's the only thing that stood out to me. Like I'm telling you, like that, like, I don't know, probably about the 45 minute mark is when they go to that guy's apartment. They call him Bicycle.
Yeah.
The guy, which is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But they go to that apartment. There's all those frat guys. You've seen part of that in the trailer. If you've seen the trailer, if you're still listening to this and haven't seen the movie, it's the part where he's like, you know, you beanbag bitch or whatever.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite Issa Rae moment, that whole.
Yeah, she is funny in that moment. Although I will say, even though it's cheesy as hell, and the Katy Perry bit's kind of funny,
too.
Trying to. But I will say that's another thing that bugged me about this movie, though, was it turns into Issa Rae's character turns into somebody who basically is just trying to play into Najani's insecurities, his character's insecurities, so she can get him to do what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. It kind of becomes tiring watching that dynamic, and to the point where when they get back together at the end of the movie, even though they have a lot of chemistry, I was like, bullshit.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys have done nothing to prove to me that you should be back together. You seem like a really terrible couple.
Yeah, the movie doesn't start off on a good note for me either. Like after, I mean, the fact that they basically met on a one night stand type of deal, mm-hmm. and then they, you know, they're in their honeymoon phase and all that, and then 4 years later, they're having an argument, and I guess this is relatable, like arguments start out of something stupid, but the argument is that she said that they could win the amazing race and that he said that they couldn't. I was just like, I understand the arguments come out of stupid things, but that's bottom of the barrel stupid.
Oh, it definitely is. And I should go back. I said they're not terrible. They're not a terrible couple, but they do seem like two people that probably would not last. And I didn't see anything in that night when they had just broken up. Like, they're literally break up right before they hit the guy. I mean, it's one of those, it's one of those big comedy moments. I will say, but all that leading up to that, although you, like you said, the argument itself is silly. They play off each other really well. There's that whole bit about, he's like, I thought we were going to have sex later. And she's like, oh, that's really sexy, you know, just planning sex. And and then they get into the orgy conversation.
Yeah. She said, and he's like, just tell me what you want me to do to you. I'll make it happen. And she's like planning, you know, planning for sex is not freaky. That's not freaky. Yeah.
That is the antithesis of freaky or something right. like that.
I think go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, and then they're in the car after that and they're talking about, I don't know, is this what you were going to talk about? The guy at the party?
Nope.
Oh, they're talking about, there's some IT guy that's going to be at the party they're going to. And he makes the which this is the best. This is the best like joke that lands, is he makes a comment that he steals all of his, everybody thinks this guy's funny.
Yeah.
And Elton Johnny says he steals everything from Cat Williams. And right. then, like, when they call them at one point from the party because they're wondering where they are, and you hear that guy in the background doing a Cat Williams bit.
Yeah,
and it's just
doing
really
that same
random.
One.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just so random. I love stuff like that, and you know, in comedies, and there's not enough of that in this movie.
Yeah, you're right. The funniest thing for me is something that you could probably just call Kumail Nanjiani's stand-up act in the middle of it, where they're in the cafe, and he sees the extra metal container for the extra milkshake that they put in, and then he's like they give you an extra, they don't, there's no other thing that restaurants give you, we made too much of this, here's the thing that we put the remainder in here. He's like spaghetti, you don't get spaghetti, and like we made far too much spaghetti, here's another bowl of spaghetti, you know. And that was a really funny moment in the movie.
That scene felt so real too, like it felt like those are two people that are in shock. Like, it started off because the waitress like sees that he's got blood on his shirt, and
yeah,
and then she's like, we were painting the living room blood red or something like that, and then and then he's like, do you guys have alcohol? And then Issa Rae's like, I'll take one too. And she's like, take one of what? And then he's like, we'll have two alcohols.
Yeah, two alcohols.
It's just like, you can just, I mean, they're playing like they'd be in shock and all that. They don't know what to do. Like, I mean, A, they just, not only did they just, they just saw somebody get killed. They also broke up, you know, they ended a relationship of 4 years. And it's just like, it's a great moment. And then unfortunately, from that point, not as good. Although, like you said, Issa Rae definitely shines in a few things. And her expressions are so awesome. That fireworks scene, I mean, the only reason that works is because of her. She completely sells that scene.
There's a Drake video that came out a couple years ago that had all these women in it. It had like Olivia Wilde. It had Emma Roberts. It had, is it Tracy Ellis from Blackish?
Tracy Ellis Ross or whatever.
Ellis Ross. Yeah. Had all these women in it and everything. And Issa Rae was in it, and none of the actors in this video like do anything. They're just kind of there.
Yeah.
And they're like either dancing or they're reacting to stuff. And she's a standout in that video just because of the little expression she makes in the video. So I'm like really hoping at some point she finds that moment where just everybody loves her.
I think this was a good idea. I mean, I don't know. They probably would have done decent at the theater, and I don't want all these to keep going to us talking about theater, but I mean, I think it probably would have done well. I think that's a perfect time to release this kind of movie. But saying that, I think best case scenario, they would have had to wait a year to release it. And I don't know that would have been a good idea because I mean, not that either one of them are like, I'm not saying they're at their peak and they're going to go down. I mean, I think they're going to go up from here. But I just think this is a perfect time to kind of to see them shine. And like you said, hopefully that'll lead especially to her getting some more stuff. And I don't want to downplay it in Johnny. I mean, he's very good in this. I mean, you just talked about one of the funniest moments is him.
Yeah. Well, and he's great. I think he's already gotten his, like, he's going to be big. He was already like, you know, getting all buff for that, whatever.
Eternals.
Yeah.
And he was in Men in Black International, which, I mean, that's not a good movie, but it's a big movie.
Yeah, I mean, and it was his voice, but it wasn't
that's true.
But and you know, he had a good run on Silicon Valley and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody sort of knows him. I don't know if everybody knows Issa Rae at this point.
Yeah, I knew who she was just because I knew she was on that show, the HBO show, but I hadn't watched it. And I knew she was in Little, but there was just nothing about Little that really interested me. And I heard it wasn't good except for her. Mm. You know, she was kind of like a Tiffany Haddish type kind of breakout scenario. But that movie didn't do as well as Girls Trip. So I don't know if there's much else to say about it other than like they have great chemistry. They're really good in it. The movie is very generic and doesn't end as well as it starts, I guess. But I mean, I'm probably going to watch this with my wife because I watched it without her the first time. I think she'll like it enough. And I think it'll be a fun movie to watch together. So, I mean, it's definitely a movie I could see watching again. But I think it could be more. I think Date Night, because I rewatched Date Night because we did CinemaSins on it. Date Night, I think, is way better than this.
Mm-hmm.
Date Night has, I think, some genuinely outstanding like comedic moments. I don't know, like you said, I don't think there's a moment. I mean, even that bit with him in the diner. I mean, I guess the diner is my favorite part, but that's not like something that like I'm gonna hold on to for like, you know, the rest of my life or anything. There's a lot of stuff from Date Night like I think about, you know.
Yeah.
I don't, it's fine. I mean, you're not gonna hate yourself for watching it by any means.
No. All right. So what did you guys think? Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also at CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter, SoundCloud. We also have a Discord. If you want to get on Discord, go over to our Reddit page and go to the right side and find a link. Or you can go to the Facebook private messages and you can ask for a link there and I'll give you one. Where can people find you, Jonathan?
I am on Twitter at SamLoomis13. You can also hear me most weeks on Behind the Sins with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes.
All right, that's going to do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkins and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
I guess we could have done then Johnny Pod or Issa Pod or something.
Oh, yeah. Could have. That moment passed. Yeah, The King of Staten Island, it was funny. I was on YouTube and there was one of those surveys came up and it was like, would you pay $19.95 to rent The King of Staten Island?
Yeah.
And I was just like, no. But I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do when the time comes.
I know. It's like, but I mean, if it's like a family situation where like three or four people want to watch it together, like that total or people getting together, like that totally makes sense. But like, spending the amount on one movie that I spend for a month of AMC stubs just seems insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I could see 12 movies for $20 basically. And, you know, but it's Judd Apatow. So it'll probably be like 4 hours. So maybe you'll get your money's worth.
It is 2 hours and 16 minutes.
Of course it is.
I mean, this motherfucker, he can't cut anything. What is his deal? What? I mean, I don't know.
Think comedies and horror movies, with very few exceptions, should be 90 minutes or less. Like I think 88 minutes is like perfect.
Yeah, it is. Was it Funny People? How long was that? Was that the same length, I think?
It's really long.
It's two hours and 26 minutes. Jesus.
I don't know what Trainwreck was, but it seemed like it was long.
I think it was 2 hours.
And Bridesmaids is Paul Feig, but it's still Apatow produced that, right? It's long.
Yeah, but I wouldn't count that one. It's directing is where he gets
but
that.
But the sequel to 40-Year-Old Virgin is, Knocked Up is long as hell.
Yeah, Trainwreck is 2 hours and 5 minutes. There's no way that movie should be that long. I feel like Apatow probably in his life, with all the TV shows and the sort of the he kept having those failed TV shows. And he when he finally got around to directing, he's like, you know what? I'm tired of people cutting things. So I'm just, he just went ahead and just like, he keeps it all. And there's some things that he really needs somebody to go in and tell him, okay, this is kind of funny, but it makes your movie longer. Just put it in as a deleted scene.
Wow, this is weird though. This is 40 is 2 hours and 14 minutes. He seems to live in that era, like the 214, 212, 216.
Yep. All of his movies are long.
Knocked Up is 2 hours and 9 minutes.
Yeah, all of them. They all have stuff in it that could probably have been cut, but he left in for whatever reason. Like, well, you know, if it's even mildly funny, we'll keep it in.
Yeah, and he does cut stuff too. I mean, that's a crazy thing. Like, I can't even imagine how much he shoots. Because, like, I know 40-year-old Virgin had a lot of outtakes. I don't know if the other ones do actually, because I haven't paid that much, but. I remember 40-year-old Virgin had like, you know, long like dialogue scenes that were just taken out. And you're just like, why? was this ever shot? But whatever.
That's the only one that's under 2 hours is 40-year-old Virgin.
Man, there you go. Maybe. Well, that was his hit though, right? That was like got him to where he could do other stuff. So
yeah,
maybe after that, he was like, I'm doing what I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
funny people though. Like an hour and 45 minutes of Funny People, that's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think there's an hour and 45 minute amazing movie in there, but the way it is, it's
they did that stupid thing where Adam Sandler is like, oh, you might have cancer. And then like 10 minutes later, you don't have cancer. They made the whole movie about that and then turned it on its head.
Right on.
Yeah, right on. There you go. Well, we all have stories.